Radio Daily for finally Fracking Friday. And the first one of the month always feels really, really, really good. Especially this crazy month where lots of stuff is going on. And good luck getting everyone on your list taken care of. Don't forget, you've already forgotten three people. You said you were going to buy presents for this year. Hi, welcome to the 6th of December. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Although I say we a bit presumptuously, apparently some of us have a meeting with uber-crazy bosses and you have to be a grown-up and a professional, which means PRS is doing that, and I'm sitting here with the wonderful Billy Flynn. What else do I need? This date in 1631, the transit of Venus occurs as predicted by Johann Kepler. 1766, the first edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica is published under the title Encyclopedia Britannica, or A Dictionary of Arts and Sciences, compiled upon a new plan. 1877, Thomas Edison records his own resuscitation of Mary Had a Little Lamb onto a cylinder wrapped with tinfoil using his newly completed prototype hand-cranked phonograph and claimed he wrote the song. 1882, the transit of Venus across the sun is first photographed on a series of glass plate negatives by Amherst College astronomer David Peck Todd. 1922, the General Electric Utica Gas and Electric Company becomes the first commercial electricity company. Before that, they were all ad-free. 1923, U.S. President Calvin Coolidge makes the first presidential address on U.S. radio. It was not the rest of the story. 1932, EMI demonstrates its first 180-line electronic television system capable of scanning film to the BBC. 1933, the U.S. ban on the James Joyce novel Ulysses is lifted. Everybody read it and went, really? They banned this? 1941, the Manhattan Project is formed in Chicago. Yeah, we did that joke. And in Los Angeles. What? The goal of the project is to develop a functional atomic bomb and give John Lithgow a really good movie. 1945, the microwave oven is first patented. 1957, America's first attempt at putting a satellite into orbit fails when the Vanguard rocket carrying it explodes on the launch pad in Cape Canaveral, Florida. 1964, the animated puppet special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, now a Christmas favorite, first aired on NBC TV. She thinks I'm cute! 1967, the U.S. Department of Defense issues a $19,800 contract to Stanford Research Institute for the purpose of studying the design and specification of a computer network, and that study will lead to the creation of ARPANET. 1981, Games by Apollo releases Skeet Shoot for the Atari 2600, and despite the fact the game will be widely considered to be one of the worst games of all time, it'll sell $200,000 worth of games by Christmas, and the company will go on to gross another $8 million on just a dozen video game titles within a year's time. Back then, we just wanted games. We didn't really care. 1985, Paramount Pictures releases the action film Young Sherlock Holmes, directed by Barry Levinson, starring Nicholas Roe, Alan Cox, Anthony Higgins, Sophie Ward, Roger Ashton Griffiths. The film, aside from being outstanding, is notable for being the first to feature a computer-generated character, the Stained Glass Man. 1991, Paramount Pictures releases Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, directed by Nicholas Meyer, starring Shatner, Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, George Takei, Walter Koenig, Michelle Nichols. If there was a finer way for them to go out, no idea what it was. Certainly not Generations. 1998, at around 9:07 Eastern Standard Time, astronauts on the U.S. Space Shuttle Endeavour complete the most difficult task of their 12-day mission, maneuvering modules from Russia and the United States to join the first two building blocks of the International Space Station. 2005, Apple Computer announces the iTunes Music Store customers have downloaded 3 million videos since the launch of the service's video support on October 12th of the same year. 2006, the DC Comics series Batman Confidential debuts, centers on the earlier career of the Batman in the first weeks after he became a crime fighter. The Institute of Cancer Epidemiology in Denmark reports it has not uncovered any statistical significant correlation between cancer and cell phone use in a study based on like 400,000 cell phone users, so suck it, 2020, you made it up. Same day, same year, NASA releases photographs taken by the Mars Global Surveyor that suggest the presence of liquid water on the planet of Mars in two craters. Always trust the doctor. 2009, Iranian authorities slow internet connections to a crawl or shut them down completely nationwide in anticipation of a student protest the following day to prevent communication between event organizers, but we all shared that all over the world, so we saw you. You can't block the truth. Birthdays! Ryan Carnes is 38 years of age from The Phantom and Blackout. Noel Clark is 44, Mickey on Doctor Who, Storage 24, Star Trek Into Darkness, The Anomaly. Tori Higginson is 50 from Tech Wars, Stargate Atlantis, and NCIS. Judd Apatow is 52, Brought Us Freaks and Geeks, Undeclared, Anchorman, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Pineapple Express. Janine Turner is 57 from Northern Exposure, Strong Medicine, Friday Night Lights. Nick Park, 61 years of age, the creator of Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep. Stephen Wright is 64, a brilliant stand-up comedian. You also know him as the DJ from Reservoir Dogs and, of course, the guy on the couch in Half-Baked. Tom Hulce is 66 from Animal House, Amadeus, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Craig Newmark is 66. He founded Craigslist, which apparently is not nearly as popular since he took away that one section. Joe Beth Williams is 71 from Kramer vs. Kramer, Poltergeist, Teachers, Dexter, Private Practice. Patrick Bichot is 81. That's Scarpine in A View to a Kill, The Pretender, and House. No longer with us, born in the state in 1805, Jean-Eugène Robert Houdin, a French musician, the father of Conjuring, not The Conjuring, that's a film, this was talent. 1900, Agnes Moorehead from Citizen Kane, and of course, Endora on Bewitched. 1924, Wally Cox, that's Mr. Peepers, and the voice of Underdog. 1929, Frank Springer, comic book writer, he gave us Dazzler, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., tons of good stuff. 1949, Doug Marlette, the creator of the Kudzu comic strip, which once upon a time did have jokes in them. Tonight on television, it's a new Hawaii 50, Magnum Pie, and Blue Bloods. ABC is showing college football. The teams, I don't know. It's college football. I'm very weird. The NFL, sure. College football, don't care. College basketball, yeah. NBA, meh, whatever. Anyway, NBC, The Blacklist, Dateline NBC. Fox has something everybody loves. It's a new WWE Friday Night Smackdown! The CW has the rules of engagement, a new charm, and Dynasty. Freeform, The Santa Clowls. AMC, Christmas with the Cranks. FX has The Secret Life of Pets. Turns out they're all secret agents, though none are better than Agent P. FXX, The Simpsons, Saturdays of Thunder, Burns Verkaufen der Kraftwerk, and Radio Bart, which is outstanding and does feature Sting. FXM will be showing Deadpool. BBC America has Goodfellas. Paramount has The Bourne Identity. Maybe a few more. How many movies are in that series now? I don't even... There's Identity, there's 3, 4, 5? I think there's 5. Sci-Fi Channel. Alex and Julius return to Fort Collins with Violet, who knows where the three pages are located on a new Van Helsing. Those, of course, are the three pages from the original version of Ulysses, which is why it was banned. TBS E-League presents Collegiate Rocket League National Championships. TNT is showing The Wizard of Oz, followed by Maleficent. So if you like witches, there's a place. Science Channel has Impossible Engineering, so you know how it ends. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after a tragic skiing accident, Sarah's life is saved thanks to a brilliant surgeon, Dr. Vincent. But the good doctor mistakes Sarah's gratitude for love and becomes obsessed with her and is determined to have her at any cost. Gina Vittori and Anthony Jensen star in The Doctor Will Kill You Now.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad and Stefan are shocked when their client, a state senator, is charged with the kidnapping and burglary of his mistress in the midst of a divorce case. Talk about taking all of your eggs out of one basket. I think in politics they call that a code black. Stefan also is defending an attractive cabana girl from accusations of assault and battery. But she knows that she's gonna be okay because Chad and Stefan are the custodians, the protectors, the guardians that she needs. Though she can't help but marvel that she's not on the other show like she thought. Hashtag Chappie. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
Well, no, indeed it's not, because after Dre stunned the world by saying she knows what show Chad and Abby are on this week, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I've got to figure out how she put that together. You know how she did it? Tenacity. If you've got an idea or just want to tell us how your life is going in general, by all means, drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send us a voicemail. Those are appreciated. Just dial the magical number of
510-GRD-CRO.
I mean, you can share recipes with us. I like to cook.
Hi, boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary. I'm Matricula, a birthday clown for all ages that are 18 and up. Join me around the campfire to sing songs full of youthful nostalgia, like The Magic and Save a Horse, Ride a Time Lord. I also host the Nasty Woman Knitting Circle, where we knit cozies and other items for charity fundraisers. Catch me live on twitch.tv/METRICULA. See you there.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed, you are.
And I'm so glad. We're all so very glad you do.
Thank you for that. By the way, here's a button.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Of course they do, and new stuff is out today, so if you're going out this weekend, in limited release, a balloon pilot, Amelia Rand, and scientist James Glasher, in 1862, embark on an extraordinary journey to discover secrets in the heavens. In the process, they flew higher in an open balloon than anyone had before, or has since. They made breathtaking discoveries, but as they ascended to the highest points of the atmosphere, they were forced into an epic fight for survival. Felicity Jones, Tom Harper, and Eddie Redmayne star in The Aeronauts. A teenage boy goes missing in a small town. The lead investigator in the case pieces together clues while trying to find a way to forgive his wife for a recent infidelity. Adam Randall, Devin Gray, and Judah Lewis star in I See You, which has a double meaning if you think about it. On Netflix, it's Christmas time in Aldovia, and a royal baby is on the way. Queen Amber and King Richard are getting ready to take some time off to prepare for their first child's arrival, but they have to host King Tai and Queen Ming of Penglia to renew a 600-year-old sacred truce. But when the priceless treaty goes missing, peace is jeopardized, and an ancient curse looms. Amber will have to figure out who the thief is before the clock strikes midnight on Christmas Eve for the safety of her family and the kingdom. Rose McIver, Ben Lamb, John Schultz, and Tahira Shari star in A Christmas Prince, The Royal Baby. In nationwide release, when her younger brother Charlie unexpectedly disappears into the magical animated universe of Playmobil, unprepared, Marla must go on a quest of a lifetime to bring him home. As she sets off on a fantastic journey across stunning new worlds, she teams up with some unlikely and heroic new friends. The smooth-talking food truck driver Dell, the dashing and charismatic secret agent Rex Dasher, a wholehearted misfit robot, an extravagant fairy godmother, and many more. Through her vibrant adventures, Marla and Charlie realize that no matter how life plays out, you can achieve anything when you believe in yourself. Gabriel Bateman, Anne Taylor-Joy, Jim Gaffigan, Meghan Trainor, and Daniel Radcliffe star in Playmobil, the movie. Hey, has this ever happened to you? Were you ever in the middle of a duel when a comet brushes Earth and takes you and your opponent to the moon where you discover prehistoric civilization? Well, if it has, then you can skip Svengoolie on MeTV this Saturday. But if you haven't, tune in and see Caesar Donova, Jason Staley, Victor Mature, and Lon Chaney Jr., courtesy of footage from a completely different movie, in 1961's Valley of the Dragons! Man, those How to Train Your Dragon movies have been going on for a long time.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. After being developed by several companies over the years, Stephen King's From a Buick 8 is finally getting made. This time with actor Thomas Jane, who has done a King adaptation, you know, The Mist, and producer Courtney Lauren Penn, Altitude, teaming up to form LA-based content company Renegade Entertainment for this adaptation. That's right, Big Ugly Indestructible Car Killer 8. That's too long of a title. Renegade, which will develop and produce the film, TV games, and immersive content for this movie, is partnering with King to adapt and produce his 2002 thriller. It's a novel about a car, which is a door to another dimension. Which means we might try again for a Dark Tower shared universe. From a Buick 8 centers around the rural town of Statler, Pennsylvania, where the state police have kept a mysterious 1954 Buick Roadmaster in the shed behind the barracks for 20 years. The town gets plagued by strange and supernatural events, and it turns out the Buick ain't what it seems to be. It's secretly an Edsel! The adaptation was once developed as a vehicle for Night of the Living Dead's George Romero and was previously in the works at Hyde Park Entertainment with writer William Brent Bell. Buick 8 has traveled a long road to get here. I mean, many folks thought this would be an impossible sell. Tonight, however, the impossible was selling cheap. Plex, the build-your-own Netflix software suite, is adding like 1,000 movies to the service for free. And that's films you like, you know, like The Terminator, or not, like Ghost in the Shell, or stuff you acknowledge, like The Right Stuff. It'll be available on demand for anyone who downloads the app to their device. Sort of like Netflix, but free. The news was announced on a blog post on the Plex website, a site I can neither confirm nor deny I've ever heard of before in my life. If you're unfamiliar with Plex, you're not alone. The software has passionate fans, but is not as well known as similar apps like Kodi. Originally a spinoff of XBMC, Plex allows you to create, essentially, your own Netflix. You provide the content, Plex allows you to stream it over the web, and a myriad of devices, including Apple products, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire, smart TVs, from makers like Samsung and LG. So, wait, this is like a digital DivX. You're welcome, Dwayne Fitzhugh. Be warned, newbies. Plex has always had two big problems. One, it's a hassle to set up. It's complex. You got to create a central server on an always-on computer or network-attached storage device, and then you have to download the app to whatever devices you want to stream and log into. Download an app? How dare you make me work for this? The other issue is you have to provide your own content, which means ripping DVDs and Blu-rays, setting up the DVR, or, you know, if you're less than ethical, finding your own content through the less legal venues like Usenet or BitTorrent that I've never heard of, but that's not something the average movie person is going to do, and it has sort of impacted the adoption of Plex. But I'm sure you know a tech person in a chair, you can make the whole thing happen. The new service, which provides over 1,000 movies for free on demand, is meant to entice people who would otherwise be put off by those setup issues. In exchange for watching a few ads per movie, you get a bunch of free movies, no subscription necessary, and of course the ads will never appear on user-provided content, so it's actually a digital IFC. Again, in fairness, it's a ton of work to set up, but once you have it, your content is a portable playhouse, an ample amphitheater, a hungry, hungry hippodrome. Square Enix has announced its first large-scale theme park. It's called Ninja Tower Tokyo and will open next year in Tokyo Tower, which is good because we need a squad to protect the tower when Godzilla returns. The landmark might seem like an unlikely spot for an attraction, but in 2015, there was a one-piece theme park that opened there. Had it been in multiple pieces, it would have been easier to set up. At this year's Leisure Japan Theme Park Expo, the company showed off its first two live interactive works projects, which provides clues as to what to expect from a ninja theme park. The projects are standalone experiences and won't be at Ninja Tokyo Tower. Are you allowed to talk about what happens in the Ninja Tower? Crystal Story, players in it walk through an enclosed booth with a lantern. Inside there are glowing crystals and digital projections. By using the lamp and listening to dialogues, players try to discover where to go next. Square Enix calls this the first of its Nightwalk series. Nightwalk? You mean you gotta use your feet? That's like a baby's toy. Other fantasy-themed and kid-friendly projects were announced, including a Sherlock Holmes-style sleuth adventure and a kaiju game that lets kids destroy buildings. Square Enix plans to install these types of experiences at various theme parks across Japan, which means eventually the Ninja Tokyo Tower will get something. Anyway, American investors are already interested. They're trying to line up a Three Ninjas Tower of the Americas with a ribbon ceremony cutting by Hulk Hogan. I'm willing to bet right now, somewhere in your house, there is a plastic bin filled with all sorts of AV cables that you may or may not ever need again. AV tech advances and becomes outdated quickly, so there's a good reason to develop electronics from materials, not like regular cables, stuff that's actually going to break down and biodegrade when discarded, instead of filling up landfills for centuries. So researchers in Finland found a way to make functional fiber optics from wood-based fibers that, when disposed of, will break down all on its own. You know, you could make more fiber optics from an acre of hemp than wood, man. Fiber optic cables are the unsung heroes of the modern digital world. Unlike wires made of metal that carry electrical signals, the cables contain long, thin threads of either glass or plastic that transmit pulses of light for miles. They connect data centers, cities, even continents. Instead of flowing electrons, pulses of light travel down fiber optic cables using a process called total internal reflection, where photons bounce off the inner walls of the transparent fibers and remain contained within during the journey from one end to the other. And you're asking, what is the best way to do that? Well, I mean, in fairness, for data to be transmitted with minimal errors, it requires fibers to be optically perfect, which seems like the exact opposite of wood. But wood isn't completely opaque, and depending upon its thickness, moisture, and other added materials, photons can still pass through it, as demonstrated by the myriad of wooden lamps available. Even though, yes, I understand, the wooden lamp does not produce the light itself. But it's not like the researchers from VTT Technical Research Center of Finland just took a branch off of a tree and tried to send pulses of light down it. The fiber optic cables they develop are actually made from wood-based cellulose. That's the structural material that allows plants to stand upright. The manufacturing process involves treating it with salt-based ionic solvents and then wrapping it with an outer layer made of cellulose acetate, which has a lower index of refraction than the core does. Semper Fiber! Don't get too happy quite yet. It's going to be a long time before this discovery replaces the traditional materials we have used to make fiber optic cables, but in the future, we will not have traditional cables. We will all have wood. And now it's time for another goodbye. Sony is getting out of the handheld gaming business. They had a good run in the household market. 2005, the PlayStation Portable sold over 80 million units. 2012, they had the PlayStation Vita, which didn't do quite as well. Only about 16 million units, which is not so hot. But they did have Power Stone, so this came in an era where smartphones were taken off, and many predicted the death of dedicated handheld consoles. 2019 is the 7-year anniversary of the Vita, and some were hoping they could make a sort of comeback. I mean, the 3DS and the Switch have proved that dedicated handheld consoles were still worth it, right? I mean, never mind the fact that the Switch isn't exactly dedicated handheld. That would be the Switch Lite. Based on what the head honchos are saying, Sony is out of the handheld business for good, as Sony CEO and President Jim Ryan said, PlayStation Vita was brilliant in many ways, and the actual gaming experience was great, but clearly it's a business that we're no longer in now. True, because handheld gaming stuff is not a business everyone engages in. Now Sony simply has to do what they always do. Copy Nintendo and make a new PlayStation that is a console and a portable system. Then pretend like they invented it, like they did with analog control, motion control, Smash Brothers, Amiibos. I mean, when it comes to stealing stuff, Sony, you're always handy. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And drop us a note, won't you? Tell us what are your holiday plans going to be? What kind of silly things you're looking forward to? Have you done anything geeky in a while? We should know these things. And tell us where Chad and Abby are if you think you know. Because you got till Monday. You got till Monday. You want to be a winner like Sonny was. Who's it going to be? I got no idea, but you'll find out. Drop a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com or send the voicemail to
510-GRD.
And we will catch you later.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man, game over, man. Game over.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
My name's...
Wait. Let me. Your name is James Watson. You're from the north of England. Your father is a doctor. You spend a considerable amount of leisure time writing. And you have a particular fondness for custard tarts. Am I correct?
My name isn't James, it's John.
Oh, James, John, what's the difference?
A great deal.
Oh, very well, so your name is John. How did I do on the others?
You were correct, on every count. How's it done? Is it some sort of magic trick?
No magic, Watson. Pure and simple deduction. The name tag on your mattress reads J. Watson. I selected the most common name that begins with J. James, or John, that would have been my second choice.
Of course.
Your particular style of shoes are not made in the city. I've only encountered them once before during a brief visit to the north of England. The middle finger of your left hand is indented with a callus, a trademark of a writer. And you were carrying the Hunter's Encyclopedia of Disease, a handbook not available to the general public, only to practicing physicians. Since someone of your age obviously hasn't been to medical school, I concluded that it was given to you by an older person, someone very dear to you who was concerned for your health, your father, the doctor.
And the custard tart?
Simple. There's a distinct stain of yellow custard on your lapel. That particular colour of custard is used in the making of custard tarts, and, well, your shape convinced me that you've eaten many of them before.
There's no need to be rude.
Come on, we haven't got all day.
Well, hang on, where are we going?
You wouldn't want to miss chemistry class, would you?
By the way, what's your name?
Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.